Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 1, verse 21. This can be found on page 1002 of the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings, because he taught them as one who has authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we come to you as a people in need, to know your presence with us, to experience your love for us, and to stand in that great purpose which is going forward, the advancement of your kingdom. So we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would make this moment count for us as we seek to know the way forward, for us as individuals, but also together as a people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's not often that I have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper in another congregation, but this fell to me not so long ago. And afterwards, a lady who was present was kind enough to come to me and say that something that I'd said during the course of the service had been very helpful to her. And it's something that you've probably heard me saying time and time again whenever we gather at the Lord's table. It's this realization that when we come here to share bread and wine, we have the great assurance that the presence of Jesus with us is as real as the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink. And the promises of Jesus, those great promises he's made to us concerning our forgiveness, our renewal, and our hope for the life to come, all of that is as real to us as the bread and wine we touch and taste, and that we can gather all of this to ourselves as surely as we take the bread and wine. Because to come here, friends, is not just to remember in the sense of bringing things to our minds. It's to come here and to realize the presence of Jesus in our midst, and to experience once again the wonder of the promises that he has made to us as individuals and as a people. And what this can mean to us is surely underlined when we come into contact with the personality of Jesus that's revealed to us in the Gospels. If this personality is available to us today, then that is really something that we have to embrace and to wonder at to a large extent. When we see that the impact that Jesus made on those he encountered in his time amongst us, and realize that this same impact can be ours today, then that is something that goes beyond any system of rational thought that we might admire or even depend upon. Because there's absolutely no doubt that the person that's presented to us in the Gospels, and perhaps in particular in the Gospel according to Mark, this person is someone of extraordinary power. We're told in the first instance in the passage that we read today that there was power in Jesus' words. You know, we're told that on the Sabbath day, Jesus taught in the synagogue, and that people were amazed at his teaching. They were used to the rabbis in the synagogue, and from what we're told, the typical rabbinic sermon could be a fairly heavy theological discourse that made very little impact on the lives of ordinary people. But on that day, they were listening to Jesus, and it seemed to them that he was coming from the very presence of God, that he had connected in a marvelous way with the very Word of God. And it was this that he was sharing from the depths of his being. People said, "We've never heard anything like this before. This is a man who is teaching with authority." And that was something that the disciples, those who were closest to Jesus, experienced time and time again. And I would assume that they were constantly marveling at the power that Jesus brought to his teaching. And friends, the marvelous thing is that if it is true that Jesus is present with us today, as real as the bread and wine that we will touch and taste, then that same authority, that same immediacy, that same impact that was felt 2,000 years ago can be experienced today. You know, if we read around the stories of how Jesus started the Lord's Supper, then we understand that he wished that when we gather together, we would remember that he had given himself in order that our sins can be forgiven. But to remember that is also to experience it. That's something that we can experience today. And we're told that it was Jesus' wish that whenever we gather here as his people, whenever we gather at his table, we should remember that we stand in a great purpose, that His kingdom is advancing towards the day when all things will be made new. And we can experience ourselves as part of that today. We're told also that it was Jesus' wish that as we gather here to remember Him, we would receive the great assurance that He had gone before us through the experience of death to prepare a place for all those who love Him. All of this, Jesus in His power, Jesus in His promises, all of that is here for us today, as real as the bread and wine that we touch and taste. And very close to the power that Mark tells us was in the words of Jesus, we see that there was power in Jesus' purpose. There was something that was unstoppable revealed on that day about the purpose of Jesus. Because even as He was preaching, we're told that He was interrupted. Now, there was a poor soul in that congregation who Mark says was possessed by an evil spirit. And he cried out in the midst of Jesus preaching. The preaching event interrupted, but also an opportunity for Jesus to reveal what was the purpose of His coming and the power that was available for Him to triumph in His purpose. Because Jesus came to take out of all human experience every shadow that falls across our lives. Everything that would pull us down, everything that would separate us from God, everything that would perhaps lead us to suspect that this life has no purpose. Jesus stood against the evil spirit and delivered this man from its dark power. Now I realize that there are various responses to stories like this. Many people are skeptical. There are some people at the opposite end of the spectrum who are perhaps unhealthily fascinated by this whole thing. What I'm saying to you this morning is that we can't ignore that this was part of Jesus' ministry. That He experienced spiritual forces ranged against Him. And that He had to stand against them. And in the lives of individuals, deliver them from these shadows that had fallen across their souls and lead them into a more peaceful and a more ordered life. But you know, moments like that, although they were important in the lives of the individual, they point us to the bigger picture. If you like, to the cosmic battle that Jesus waged in those days and is still waging against those influences that have spoiled His Father's creation. Against those influences that drive a wedge between human beings and the love of God. When Paul was delivering his teaching concerning the Lord's Supper to a congregation 2,000 years ago, he said, "Whenever we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. A day has been set for the renewal of the whole universe, and that is a purpose that is unstoppable. When everything that's ever caused this pain will be sucked out of our experience. are incidents like this one in the synagogue in Capernaum. That's a foretaste of the victory that is to come. And today we can be part of that. This purpose is unfolding as real as the bread and wine that we touch and taste. It was a day when the power of Jesus was shown in a spectacular way, but perhaps also in a small but no less effective way. He showed the power that was in his love. You know, it's something that a lot of people young in the ministry have to come to terms with, and it's that preaching the gospel can be a draining experience. Sometimes you wonder sometimes at the emptiness that you feel with regard to all your resources. And I don't believe that our Lord was any different in that. And he also, in that synagogue in Capernaum, had to cope with this interruption from the disturbed man. So he had a very demanding experience. There can be no doubt about that. And Simon and the boys take him home, perhaps for him to relax for a wee while. But when he arrives at the house, he finds that Simon's mother-in-law is ill. And nothing will do but that Jesus goes to her and reaches out to her and delivers her from the fever that's laying her low. And at the end of that day, that very moving image of the sun going down over Capernaum and people gathering at the door. People who had heard about Jesus and the power that he possessed, and they wanted to be healed of their infirmities and delivered from the darkness. The power of love flowing out from Jesus, despite everything that he'd experienced that day, despite everything that day had cost him, he still had time for men and women in trouble. Now, as we gather at the Lord's table today, we probably would have to say that those stories of healing, so profound and so complete, these are not in our experience. But what can never be in doubt is the love that prompted those healings. And as I was saying to the children earlier on, that is something that is always present. No matter what our experience, no matter what the state of our health, we can never ever be in any doubt that God's love is present with us to be our strength for today and our hope for tomorrow. You know, there's a man whose writings have enabled me to face up to some of the issues involved in all of this. The reality of suffering and how we cope with it in our lives. His name is Ron Dunn, who himself had experienced so many setbacks and breakdowns in his own health. And sadly, he writes in one of his books about people who said to him, well, maybe your faith's not right, and that's why you're not being healed. Maybe your faith is not strong enough. But he had enough insight into the ways of God. And he had enough faith in the power of God's love to be able to respond and to say, no, my problem is that I don't have enough faith to stay sick, if that is the way things have to be. Because Ron knew that there was nothing that would ever separate him from the love of God, no matter what his circumstances. And that love is here for us today, as real as the bread and wine that we touch and taste. When we encounter this Jesus in the Gospels, we see that there was power in his words, there was power in his purpose, there was power in his love. And in the last section of the reading that George shared with us, we're put in touch with the source of that power in many ways. Because we have a vision of Jesus in prayer. I think we might have forgiven him. No one would have grudged him a slow start to that day, after everything that he'd been doing on the Sabbath. But as soon as he's awake and before the sun is up, Jesus is away to a place where he can be alone. And we're told that there he prays. And we're told that he emerged from that time of prayer with a renewed vision of what he had to do. I have to go to other villages to preach, because that is why I have come. And that tells us something about the very foundation of Jesus' ministry. That in the mysterious nature of his personality, he, like us, needed to receive from his heavenly Father. People sometimes question, if he was the Son of God, why did he need to pray? I respond to that by saying, perhaps he needed to pray more than anyone else, because he needed the assurance that he was connected to the heavenly place. He needed the assurance that he was standing in God's will. He needed those resources that came from another world. And friends, those are the resources that we stand in need of today as we gather at the Lord's table. Yes, we are here to receive. But as we emerge from this time of sharing, surely it needs to be very heavy upon our hearts that now we are being called to give. That was the experience of the disciples. At this particular moment in Jesus' ministry, they were observing, they were experiencing Jesus' powerful words, his stand against the darkness, the love that flowed out to individuals in trouble. But there came a moment when Jesus said to them, now you go and do those things that you've seen me do. Speak with authority, stand with assurance, and respond from the depths of God's love for individual men and women. And that's something that we need to take to ourselves today. You know, Jesus was interrupted in prayer, if you remember. Simon came and said, hey, what's going on? Everyone's looking for you. And you know, it's still the same today, friends. Everyone is looking for Jesus. They might not realize it entirely, but they need an encounter with someone who can turn their lives around. Someone who can give a purpose for today and a hope for the life to come. How will they know about all of this except through us, the followers of Jesus in this day? So in this moment we receive. But by the grace of God, let us all remember that the time will come for us to give. the words that speak of Jesus, the living that shows the purpose of the kingdom, and the energy to reach out to those who are struggling, even when we ourselves perhaps feel our weakness and our inadequacy. Jesus stands among us in his risen power to reassure us, but also to send us out as his people who can make a difference. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that it will be in the power of your Spirit that you come to us today, that we would realize your presence, your power, your peace, and help us as we go back to the duties that await us in the world to feel the sense of our belonging to you and standing in that unstoppable purpose which will bring renewal to the whole world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.